89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
I'm Leo Metzger. You're listening to Metzger Interviews. I'm delighted to be joined by a highly acclaimed vocalist, songwriter, and producer. Mesa has been the lead vocalist of Incognito. She's forged an impressive solo career and is now the executive of her own label, Blue Velvet Soul Records. She recently released a solo album on that label. Mesa, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Blue Velvet Soul, is that how someone could describe your voice?
That's one of my best friends, Kimberly Brewer, who's the one who introduced me to Stevie Wonder back in the day. One day I was trying to figure out an album name for my album of the same title. And she said, Mesa, your voice is like Blue Velvet. You should call your record Blue Velvet Soul. I was like, wow. So there she goes. She named the album for me. And then since I got my first Grammy nomination from that album, I decided to call my record label Blue Velvet Soul Records.
I just want to have a brief dive into your amazing career. I find this really fascinating. Yes. You studied at Morgan State University in Baltimore with a degree in classical performance.
Yes, I was supposed to be an opera singer, but I chose to sing soul, R&B, and jazz music. That was my heart. I grew up listening to that music. My parents played that music in my house on a 24-hour basis. That was just ingrained in my soul. But I'm grateful for the training. The training has sustained my voice for these last 32 years, so I'm grateful for that.
So does a knowledge of classical performance technically translate into soul and jazz?
I can. It's just mostly the preservation of your voice, the vocal training, the scales that you sing, the warm-ups, the thought pattern behind how you preserve your voice, how to use your chest voice, how to use your head voice. Mm. All those things that I learned have really sustained me thus far.
And do both styles, do they fulfill you spiritually?
Yes, soul, jazz, and R&B definitely does. It's something that I think I was born to do, something I love to mix together, you know, and that's what I've been doing for the last 32 years. Jazz, funk, soul, and R&B is all together. It's the same thing to me.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
Well, in 1991, you joined Incognito, the British jazz funk band, and you relocated to London to record Tribes, Vibes, and Scribes. You've continued to be a major part of their sound to this day. How did you come to work with them initially?
When I was singing with Stevie Wonder, when I first graduated from Morgan, I got an audition with Stevie Wonder, and I was able to sing on the Jungle Fever project with Spike Lee that he did. And while I was out there, one of his background singers was doing a session, and she said that the producer needed a jazzier voice, and she recommended me for the session. And during that session, I became friends with a drummer from Scotland named Stephen Harvey, who happened to be best friends with Bluey from Incognito. And so one day he called me and said, Mesa, Bluey's looking for a new American singer to front Incognito. Would you be interested? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. After a few weeks, I got a chance to speak to Bluey on the phone. I sang for him over the phone. And the next morning, his manager called and said that I got the gig. They weren't looking for anybody else. They moved me to London within 2 weeks. And I lived in London for 4.5 years with them.
My goodness. Is that standard practice, singing over the phone in an audition?
No, not at all. That was just another magical moment in my life. Auditioning and passing the audition with Stevie was the first magical moment. Then auditioning for Incognito over the phone was the second magical moment.
And your voice just matches Incognito's sound perfectly. It really is Blue Velvet Soul. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Eastside Radio.
In terms of your songwriting, did Incognito ever influence your style?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I watched Bluey, a genius, from day one, you know, from when I joined the band in 1991. So he inspired me to hone my own craft of writing music from my soul, things that mean something to me, to write about it. I've been writing since I was a teenager, and also I was able to write instrumental parts of the song, like the bass or the drums. I was able to sing those ideas to my producers and have an outcome where I could actually hear the instruments of what I was singing. So that's really cool.
The technology of today would help with that, I imagine, if you layer your ideas.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing. Took me a minute to get into it, and I still have a lot to learn. But actually, one of the songs on my new album, Running From Myself, I actually wrote that on GarageBand, and then I turned it over to the producers, the Heavyweights, to help fine-tune it. But I started off writing the whole thing in my house.
Wow. And I suppose it makes it easier in that just before you go to bed, you can go to your computer and quickly, you know, between brushing your teeth and going to bed.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, sometimes you get inspired in your sleep, or, you know, you have to have the phone to be able to put my ideas down quickly. It's very important.
When you're the vocalist on a track, how much do you adapt the vocal arrangement from the demo that they present to you?
They received a lot of my ideas for those songs. Of course, Bluey was guiding me with his ideas also, but my ideas were well received also, so I felt the respect there when I was working with them too.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
Well, your solo career began in 1995 with your self-titled album. Since then, your music has continued to be so successful on the jazz and R&B charts, up to right now with Music for Your Soul.
So in 2018, you founded Blue Velvet Soul Records because it allowed you to exercise greater control over all creative and commercial aspects of music making. And the label has since delivered your 14th studio album.
You teamed up with producer Chris Davis to forge 19 songs.
I used to use 10 producers on this album. And so it was just amazing how it all came together. It's very organic and spiritual. During the pandemic time, I decided that maybe I should get started on this record. Then the pandemic hit, and then went through a lot of financial issues. And when I got back to work, I used every chance I got. Every show that I did, I used money from that to fund my album. So it took me almost 3 years to get it together, but finally released it in March of 23. It was a labor of love. It was blood, sweat, and tears, for real. And it all worked out well because it's well-loved by a lot of people. So I want to get out there to the world as much as I can. So thank you for helping me today with this.
Oh, it's a brilliant record. And what is the vision behind the album?
The vision was about my love for everybody and how I wanted us to understand that we're spirits. We came here as spirits and loving spirits, you know, and with the love of the world to taint our vision of what we're supposed to be here for because of the way the world is with all the greed and hatred and all those things. And I just wanted people to return. I wanted people to have a long playing record. You know, a lot of people at this day and age are doing EPs, they're doing 5 or 6 songs, and then maybe 6 months later release another 5 or 6 songs. And I just wanted a long playing record like I had when I was a kid. You know, it was a joy to go in my parents' basement with my headphones and listen to both sides of an album. So I just wanted people to have that experience again to this day. And I know that people my age and older have time to do that. They really do. A lot of people in the industry were basically saying, you know, Mesa, it's not a good idea to release that because people's attention spans are not what they used to be. And I fought against that because I know that there's a demographic out there that does have time. And it's proven to be true.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
And you've also said that you wanted to create a soundtrack for people doing daily tasks. Someone just cleaning the house on a Saturday morning, or a truck driver doing the long haul. I wondered, in your daily life, do you sing out loud to yourself, or do you try and preserve your voice for when you're recording?
I'm not singing. Sometimes I don't even know I'm singing. I remember being in an elevator one day and I was humming or something, and I said, why are you so happy? You know, I didn't even know I was humming. It's a joy. That's a God-given gift that I have, and I don't take it for granted, not one day. Sometimes I do preserve my voice. Like from tonight till my show with Incognito in North Carolina here in the States. Just try to be quiet and try to rest and try to eat well and to make sure I have a voice for these concerts, because the live experience is totally different from recording, and it's a lot more harder on your body.
And there's also a big scatting component to your music. Are those sections improvised on the spot?
I create them on the spot, but sometimes I like making scat choruses or little scat hooks that people can also learn and sing along with me. But for the most part, it's very much improvised.
Eastside Radio.
Well, this album has a great mix of original material and a number of covers. One of them dates back to your Stevie Wonder time period, Make Sure You're Sure. Why was that important to include for you?
During the pandemic, after being single for 11 years, I decided to take a chance. I let someone talk me into taking a chance on him, and it didn't work out, and it kind of broke my heart a little bit. And so I thought that, you know, at my age, I would like someone to, if they do want to talk to me and they do want to be serious, I want them to make sure that they're sure that they want to step into a relationship with me. I really don't want to play games at this point in my life. And it's really important for me to have a mature, loving relationship. And I've been waiting all my life for that. And it shows through my music. You know, I've talked about it my whole career. That part of my life has eluded me, and I really want that to happen.
It's a nice tie-in to your early career. It shows how far you've come. Because did you sing on that originally in Jungle Fever?
Yeah, my first professional gig was singing background on These Three Words. I sung on that, and I sung on a song called I Go Fail It. I have a solo at the end of that song, and then I sung on a couple other tracks from that album.
89.7 FM.
Also on this album, you pay homage to Phyllis Hyman with You Know How to Love Me. Is she an influence on you?
Absolutely. She was a huge influence. I love Phyllis Hyman. Her vocal tone, her color of her voice, her technique and her phrasing, her whole persona was just otherworldly to me. And I just was so impressed by her. But I never really called her before because I was afraid to. And a lot of people encouraged me, like, just try it. People want to hear you sing Phyllis Hyman. So I thought I'd try. My producer produced my remake of Love is the Battlefield. They did such a great job with that. I decided that I wanted to call them again and ask them to really rework this, but not take it too far. I wanted to still pay tribute to her original, but I just wanted to take it in my direction a little bit. And they really fine-tuned it and found that special spot, you know, that I really appreciate.
Who are some of the personnel on this album? It's a big production.
So many. It's like hard to even fathom. A lot of great vocalists and instrumentalists. My producer, Chris Big Dog Davis, and there's so many people. Everybody just put love on this record.
For 19 tracks, were the recording sessions spread over a long time period, or did you get them all done in one go?
They had everything done within a year. I guess about a year it took me to do everything. It really, the last 6 months, I recorded 12 or 13 songs within 6 months or so.
Wow.
East Side Radio.
Another single that was released was I Don't Mind, which has been described as an upper mid-tempo groover, and it was a mainstay at the top of the UK charts. How did that song come about?
My music director, Damon Bennett, had given me this song about 5 years ago. And he said, maybe you might like this track. So I loved the track, and I always kept it in the back of my mind that when I do my next record, I was going to do it. And I loved it so much. And I remember I was almost on the record. I was going to choose one more song because I was getting the timing right for the vinyl. There's a certain amount of time you could use for vinyl. So I said, I could do one more song. And I spoke to Damon. I said, Damon, is this song still available? And he said, absolutely. One day, Incognito came to town. We had a few days off. And I was recording a Frank McComb song, but Frank McComb was in New York. So Bluey volunteered to come to the studio to help me produce my vocals. And, oh, my God, absolutely. So before we got to the studio, I sent Bluey the song. I said, Bluey, is there anything you can do with this? Because this is a nice track. Can you write something to this? And within 2 hours, Bluey had sent me the song he had written. And I was like, oh, my God, I love this. And I love the lyrics. It's just fun to record that quickly. And we did went to the studio and recorded that night.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
As a songwriter and a vocalist yourself, you've mentioned, you know, writing songs is a way of getting your message out to people in such a great crafted way. I'm interested to know, when you're composing a song, because you look at it perhaps from a vocalist perspective, do you come up with the vocal first and then add music around that?
It depends. I can go either way. Sometimes somebody will send me a track and I immediately hear a vocal line and the melody and the lyrics come to me. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but sometimes I will read a word in the book. Like, I read the word simpatico one day in a magazine article, and I was like, simpatico, what does that mean? I went to the dictionary, looked it up, and I was like, oh, I love that. And then somehow, just the melody came to my mind, so I was able to sing the melody to my producer. Back then, it was Rex Rideout. And I said, here's the melody and some of the lyrics, and he made the music from what I sang. So, I don't know, like I keep saying, it's spiritual, but it really is spiritual. We believe in the industry that music is a spirit, and sometimes it'll come to you, and if you don't act on it, it'll go to somebody else. So we have to act on it immediately, or you won't remember it.
It's like a dream, isn't it? When you think you'll remember the dream, but it just goes straight away.
Right, goes straight away, yeah.
It's a strange thing.
That's what music is like. It's like a dream.
And I'm imagining with your demos, when you sing the different vocal and instrument layers into it, does the background of having been in the choir give you that knowledge of different vocal ranges and how they operate together?
It does. It really does. It's a big help. I learned a lot of that from Bluey, too, from doing my own background vocals for years with Incognito, you know. I taught myself a lot that way.
89.7 FM.
Well, finally, is there one track that we haven't mentioned that's really important for you?
Oh, wow. I love all of it. It's kind of hard to choose one. I really worked hard putting this record together, and I'd be glad for anybody listening to any of them, and I'll be very proud.
Where are the platforms that people can go to get this album?
The physical album, you can go to my website, themesastore.com, or go to my website, mesa.com, and the link there. But also, it's on all digital outlets, iTunes, you know, Amazon Music, it's all over the place. But I really prefer if people bought it, it's a lot better for me, or download it from iTunes or something. That's the only way I really can see any kind of returns from that.
I urge people to go and get it because it's a really special moment, not just in your career, but in music. And because it's got so many tracks
Thank
on
you.
It, our Australian audiences will love it. I'm very sure of that.
Yeah, and I definitely should to Australia too. I definitely will.
Yeah, imagine that, a whole show with the full album performed. Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be I would love that. That's what I was thinking of. I was watching Beyonce did one of her whole albums in the show one time. I was so jealous. I'm like, oh, I would love to do that too. That this album is that album to do that with. It really is.
Yeah, start to finish. It would be a long show, but it would be a great show. So people would have to bring a lot of food. Mesa, thank you very much for joining me. It's been great.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much. I love Australia. I was there 2 years ago with Dave Koz on his cruise, and I got to see my first kangaroo, and I was just turned into a four-year-old. I was so excited to be that close to them. It was so beautiful. Just a beautiful country. I just was amazed. I had a really great time.
Mesa's long-awaited 14th solo album, Music for Your Soul, is out now on streaming platforms. You can also buy the CD at themesastore.com.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.